your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios. This time, the Crossbreed Holster Studios are down in South Florida, right near those toasty beaches. You know, if you've been listening to the program for a while, every once in a while, I think every week, you might hear me say something along the lines of welcome to the show from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, from those toasty beaches in South Florida, all the way to those crab fishing vessels in Alaska. We are underneath the sky, the palms, the sun, if it were out. It will be. Just not now, because it's dark. Unless you're in California or the great free state of Arizona or Kansas, which is getting freer and freer by the minute, an hour behind us. But welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. It's a real pleasure. Again, a reminder to you that Armed American Radio, Shanto, bring your mic live so that we can let everybody know that you and I will be daily now.
Yes.
Beginning Monday, April 6th. That's in a week.
Yes.
From 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have a listen live button. As the show comes out of the gate, we will not be on all of the stations that we're on right now. All of you listening on the in the hundreds of cities across the country right now won't have that luxury yet. We will eventually knock the third hour of Hannity off at some point. And when we do that, we'll let you know. In the meantime, you'll be able to head over to armedamericanradio.com. The new site will be unveiled. Visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/armedamericanradio, or make sure to like us over there or follow us over there, if you will, at AAR Radio, at AARRADIO on Twitter, and all of the latest information will pop. We will be live Monday, April 6th, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 2 Pacific, and you can catch us there until we knock Hannity off of that third hour, which we intend to do.
Say,
Sean, go ahead.
I got a big question. When you gonna bring the Crossbreed Holsters here to Tejas?
Well, the Crossbreed Holster Studios are already in Tejas. I just need to get the mobile studios in there to the permanent studios, which we will do, and I won't need the mobile studios. We'll just be there with you in the permanent studios. Sitting at the table with me at the Crossbreed Holster Studios, to my right, is the owner and founder of the Arms Room, and that's Mike P. Wawarski, also of Arms Room Radio. Mike, welcome. It's always a pleasure, brother.
Well, it's great to be here under the palm trees with you, Mark.
The last time we did this together was just a few weeks back, and we were under the palm trees in the desert. Night Sky out in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Sitting across the Crossbreed Holster Studio table from you, famed Second Amendment self-defense pro-rights. That's what Alan Corwin likes to say. It's not pro-gun. It's pro-rights. Attorney Kevin Maxwell. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
You ready to have a conversation with one of the greatest economic minds, one of the greatest authors, and our good friend in the world? That's John Lott.
I am.
Let's do it. Let's welcome John Lott, famed author, economist, More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition. John, it's a pleasure to have you here. How are you, sir?
Oh, great. Great talking to you, Mark. Congratulations again on your program going daily. That's very exciting.
It is, and we appreciate it very much. We're looking forward to bringing your voice to the show as frequently as possible. John, in the essence of time, I want to say that we have been having some technical difficulties with our phone lines in the past. If we lose you, we'll try to reach you back. Hopefully, we won't have that issue. We do believe that we have it fixed. John, a couple things. Let's start with
this point.
No, please don't. Please don't. Sean, I would say I'll blame it on you, but I'll get a nasty email from somebody. Okay.
Yeah, we need to address that.
Yeah, we will in another segment. John, let's start first with the National Rifle Association Convention. Of course, that convention kicks off in a couple of weeks in Nashville, Tennessee, on Friday, April 10th. You've got quite a shindig going on. Would you please tell us about it?
Oh, sure. Thanks. And you'll be there. Yeah, we have Ted Nugent, Brad Thor, Katie Pavlich from Fox. We have Dana Lash. And I think we'll have a few other big people there lined up there at the end. And people will be able to have a chance to party with us, go have be at reception with them, and then have dinner where we'll have some great talks. And we're trying to raise money for the Crime Prevention Research Center so we can keep doing the type of research that I think we need and hope probably, unfortunately, are going to need even more in the coming year.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I think you're right. The left, the I don't really say the left, but the anti-gun anti-rights movement is very well funded. John, are you seeing from the other side, maybe that's not the right term, the other side, but are you seeing from the, because of Bloomberg's insertion here becoming much more prolific, are you seeing the attacks becoming bigger and better and stronger from them because of the money? Are you facing that?
Oh, sure. I see this, but I think it's really going to be next year that we see the real tidal wave. Bloomberg, I mean, we hear about the $50 million that he spends on every town, but that's just part of the money that he spends. He's literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars beyond that funding research. And he really has a very comprehensive game plan on this. It's just not money that he's spending on research, but I'll give you one example. In May, he's working with the Dart School of Journalism at the University of Columbia to go and bring in several hundred journalists from around the country to spend a couple days with them listening to gun control experts on how they're supposed to cover the gun control issue over the next year or so when research is released. So he's just not putting out the research, but he's going out there spending big bucks to fly in reporters to teach them about how they're supposed to cover this issue. And, you know, you think a journalism school is supposed to be balanced, or at least teach people balance, but all the researchers that they have there that are coming in are all from the one side of the issue. They have one person from kind of the pro-rights side that's going to talk about some history, and then they have another person who's going to be there, who's on the pro-right side, but that's two of the 14 people that they're going to have there, but all the academics, all the people that are going to be talking about safety issues are all on the other side of the debate, and that's what these journalists are going to hear.
Yeah, let me give you an example of funding from the other side and some of the information that they're putting out. A piece was out in Fox back on March 29th, just a couple days ago, today actually, FBI figures tweaked to show phony increase in mass shootings, report says. Crime stats published by the FBI, and this is on Fox, and relied upon by the media distort the gun violence and leave the public with the impression mass shooting, quote-unquote, incidents are a much bigger threat than they really are, according to a criminologist and Second Amendment scholar. That would be you. The Bureau's annual reports tabulating and classifying a wide range of crime throughout the nation have been historically free of politics. But John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, said the latest statistics contain numbers that are misleading at best and deliberately fudged at worst. John, can you explain that for us?
Yeah, it's really disheartening, but it's a perfect example. I mean, this report was put out just weeks before the November election this last year, and they were using the FBI, the raw data that the FBI produces on crime, to try to gin up the gun control issue. And I'll just go through a few of the basic points that are there. The big claim, and if you would have seen this, it was front page New York Times, Wall Street Journal, front page USA Today. Dozens of major newspapers had this story on their front page saying that mass shootings had dramatically increased from 2000 to 2013. Well, some of the things that they did, for example, was one, they actually missed 20 mass shootings. But the problem is they missed the mass shootings at the very beginning of the period, around 2000, 2001, 2002, making it look like things were safer at that time than they actually were. And then they padded the other end by including these so-called active shooter cases. These are cases where a gun may have been fired in public, and nobody may have been wounded or killed, just nobody actually shot. The problem is that there's no real database on this. Police departments don't collect this data. Nobody does. And so in order to try to put this together, the FBI did news searches, like Google news searches. If you were to do a Google news search on, let's say, a mass shooting where four people were killed, if I did that a week after that, I may get like 800 news stories. If I did that same search 5 years after the event, I may get 500 news stories. And that's because news stories disappear over time from the Internet. You know, archives shut down, links are broken, other things happen. And that's fine when you're dealing with a case where there are four people killed. But if you have a shooting where a gun's fired, where nobody's actually shot, you're lucky to get one news story on that event. And right. Even if you can get something, let's say that's a year old, you may not yet find a case that occurred 5 years ago. And the problem is then, not that these cases didn't occur earlier, but that all the cases you're getting are from just the last few years.
Okay, John, I need to stop you. Let me stop you right there. I want to dig down into that as we get ready to take this break right now. Let's continue that train of thought when we come back. And I want to get deeper. It's very important because you're talking about raw crime data. We're talking about the FBI. The FBI. We'll be back right after this with John Lott.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit GanderMountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Thank you.
is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to get right back into it. I have an amazing panel of experts here. I have a man to my right that is a manufacturer of some of the finest AR-15s, modern sporting rifles in the United States of America, Arms Room, Mike Piwaworski, and across from him is a noted pro-rights second defense attorney or self-defense attorney, Second Amendment attorney, Kevin Maxwell. And some of the best radio is the radio you never get to hear, and the conversation we just had during the break is part of that. So I want to paint that picture for you of what we were talking about. Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you. John was talking about the raw data, how disheartening it was, and he mentioned the Google. As soon as we went to the break, you commented about the Google search. I'll turn it over to you, and I'll let you ask that question of John to continue.
John, my understanding is that you are using raw crime, or the FBI is using the wrong crime data. And basically, I'm expecting you're talking about the Unified Criminal Reports, the crime reports, UCRs. You're not? What kind of raw data are you talking about?
Look, the Uniform Crime Reports puts together data on murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assaults, different types of property crimes. But this active shooter isn't something that's been recorded before. Those other types of Uniform Crime Reports, they go and they have local police departments collect it. You know, they tell them what the definition of a rape is. They've changed that under the Obama administration, or sexual assault. And then police departments hopefully follow those guidelines and then report how many crimes they have of each type to the FBI. But this data on so-called active shooters was never required for police departments to collect. They never tried to collect this. And so the FBI has been going back and trying to create this data itself. You know, just like, you know, they're in charge of putting together and overseeing the Uniform Crime Report data. There were tasks with going and putting together this these mass shootings as well as these active shooter data.
All right, well then, given that they're using Google searches, if you will, they get a report that says there were four people shot at or wounded in a shooting. They find another report that says there were four people, same town. They get another report from another source that says four people. It's the same shooting. Are they counting that as 12 shootings?
No, I mean, hopefully they go back through and find out that they're all news stories about the same case. And that's usually pretty easy to find out. You know the date, you know the number of people who were killed, you know where it occurred. So, I mean, that's not a problem. The problem here is that going back and trying to find cases that are a decade old or even 5 years old, the way that they were doing that has problems. You're going to miss cases, and you're going to get recent cases. What I was trying to give before was an example that news stories using things like Google search falls out over time. You know, you may be able to get a story on something that happened a week ago, but it may be hard to find it if it's 10 years old or if it's 5 years old. And so when they go and they say 80% of these so-called active shooter cases where somebody may have fired a gun in public and it could be that nobody was shot, you know, you're not going to get many stories on that. You'll be lucky to get one story in a newspaper on such an event. It's not that interesting for most people to read about it.
So and statistically, there's no integrity to the data they're collecting.
Right. What happens is that the source that they're using to go and put the data together is showing a drop when it's really a problem with the data source rather than saying that 10 years ago there just weren't any of these cases where somebody shot a gun in public and nobody was hit.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Wow. John, we're talking about the FBI here. Let me move this over to every town for gun safety. I'm on their site now, and I've watched this number grow over time. I think we've talked about it on this program over the last year. But they're still reporting, John, there have been at least, as we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, to John Lott, famed economist, New York Times best-selling author of More Guns, Less Crime, and Fox News contributor, among many other things. This report, John, says there have been at least 100 school shootings since Newtown. Now, that was debunked months ago when we looked at the quote-unquote definition of school shootings. They're including things that happened near a school that might in a domestic dispute, for example, completely and totally unrelated to anything at the school. Is it the same type of thing that we're seeing that the media just takes and runs with, the garbage in, garbage out?
No, unfortunately, the media doesn't scrutinize the types of data that Bloomberg puts out. They've started to do it a little bit, but it's relatively infrequent. But on this thing about the number of school shootings, you know, even CNN and even PolitiFact have said that the claims that they're making are false. I wrote something before anybody else did in the fall of in January and February of 2014, and I think our original research is what caused CNN to write a story on it eventually in PolitiFact. But you know, it took a lot of time. You know, they were including cases there where there was a case at a Florida university where a man had been attacked by two people. Fortunately, he was near his car. Florida had recently changed its law to allow concealed carry permit holders to lock their guns in their cars, and he was able to reach his gun and use it to wound one of the attackers who was going after them and cause them to flee. That's classified as the type of school shooting that Bloomberg is upset about. But you're right, you have cases involving gang shootings that were off school property at night when nobody connected to the school was around. You have cases where at 2 a.m. in the morning somebody would pull into the parking lot and commit suicide. Is it bad that they're gang shooting? Sure. Is it bad that somebody goes and commits suicide at 2 a.m. in the morning? Sure. I'd rather people don't do that. But to go and try to lump in a gang shooting that's off of school property with a Newtown-type attack just makes no sense, because they're completely unrelated in terms of causes and what one wants to try to do in order to try to stop those types of events. And it gets to something fundamental, and that is, don't they have any confidence with their claim? Why is it necessary for them to go and pad the numbers, to go and make these things up, if they really had confidence in the claims that they're making? But they
don't.
That's a great question.
That's a great question with the very limited time that we have left. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly why it's so important that you visit Crime Research, crimeresearch.org, where you can find the truth that John is talking about here. John, we've got about 30 seconds for you. Please tell people what they can see on your site. I wish we had more time with you. Go ahead.
Well, we have lots of data that we put out on all these things. We've had evaluations of about a dozen of Bloomberg's reports. We put out reports of our own. But what I hope people do when they go to the site is click on the top link about the event that we're having in Nashville for people who are going to be at the NRA convention. You know, they can meet Mark Walters in the flesh. They can meet Ted Nugent and Brad Thor and myself, and there'll be others that they can meet there. And, you know, they can, hopefully we'll have a fun, informative evening. And
John, I've got to stop you there, but we'll continue to push that right now. I'm sorry, we're getting ready to take a break, but we'll send everybody there. We'll continue to talk about it throughout the program today. Thank you so much for joining us, as usual, and for all of the work that you're doing to get the truth out there. CrimeResearch.org, back right after this.
WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul.
A service of Salem Communications.
Hi, I'm Randy with Arby's Computer Service. For all you business owners listening right now, who is managing your network of computers and servers? I hope you have someone qualified to monitor the hundreds of events that are reported daily by the operating system. If this is not carefully sifted through, you could potentially have the system crash or be accessed via the internet along with all of your data destroyed or stolen. Why not have us manage this for you and eliminate those concerns? We are doing this already for a number of other business owners, and that lets them concentrate on their business rather than the maintenance of the computers and servers. We do it all, and quite reasonably too, and we manage your backups also. You are doing that, right? Why don't you just call me today at 763-441-3884 so you can put this to rest. One more thing. If you have a broken screen on a tablet or cell phone, we fix those also. We are the experts in the IT field, and we would love to earn your business. One more time. Here's the number. 763-441-3884 or on the web at rbsmn.com.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
The Clintons and the Obamas, it's more than a political rivalry. It's a blood feud, and that feud comes to life in shattering detail in New York Times bestselling author Ed Klein's new book, Blood Feud. With unparalleled reporting and access to the most sensitive sources close to the principals, Klein pulls back the veil on the contempt between Bill and Hillary, Barack and Michelle, the Clintons and the Obamas. Jaw-dropping in its revelations, compulsively readable in the famous Klein style, Blood Feud is most of the talked-about political book of the year. Pick up a copy of Blood Feud and get the answers to many of the questions you've been asking, including what really happened in Benghazi, what Hillary Clinton didn't tell you in her brand new book about her health and her husband's health, why Bill Clinton really supported Barack Obama, the secret Hillary Clinton is keeping that could keep her out of the White House, Michelle Obama's political ambitions. Read about it all in Blood Feud by Ed Klein at bookstores everywhere. Log on to Regnery.com for more information. Regnery.com.
If you have hair loss, then I have some important news for you. This is Dennis Prager, and I urge you to log on to IneedMoreHair.com. See what Dr. Norton Abramson is doing for men and women just like you. Dr. Abramson is the most experienced hair transplant specialist in Minnesota and ranks in the top 1% in the nation. He's given patients from around the world, including some of the most prominent celebrities, a full head of hair, and he can do that for you. In fact, his technique is so advanced, he guarantees the results in writing. Dr. Abramson's prices are the best in the business, as low as $3 per graft. The consultations are free and the results are amazing. IneedMoreHair.com, the only permanent solution to your hair loss. Call for your free consultation today on my recommendation. The office is in Eagan, just off 35E on Diffley Road. Experience you can trust, prices you can afford, online at IneedMoreHair.com.
This is Albert Mogul for townhall.com. When it comes to matters of worldview, matters of truth, and matters of morality, words always matter. That's why I really appreciate an article by Mark Leibovich in the New York Times entitled, You and I Change Our Minds All the Time. Politicians Evolve. To avoid being branded as flip-floppers, politicians must evolve, to use the word they often choose. Leibovich writes, more than any other issue, same-sex marriage has occasioned the most dramatic evolution of the word evolution. President Obama famously said in October 2010, quote, attitudes evolve, including mine, end quote. Leibovich points out that Obama's use of the word evolve became a rhetorical benchmark for how public figures talk about changing their public positions on the topic. In his words, embedded in the word evolving is more than a hint of self-congratulation. It implies that you are headed somewhere better, end quote. Leibovich is precisely right, and we are nowhere near the end of pressure to evolve on the issue of same-sex marriage. I'm Albert Mogul.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
saf.org. We also need to get a Crime Prevention Research Center push in there. John's work is needed now more than ever before. It's always been needed. John has been doing amazing things. We're talking, of course, about John Lott, who you heard in the previous two segments. He's an amazing individual, and it's very difficult to argue facts. What's the old adage, Kevin? You're entitled to your opinion, but not your own facts, right?
Right. That figures lie and liars figure.
John, that's a great analogy. And you know, John gives us those facts, and it's very difficult to debunk the truth with lies. But the Bloomberg campaign, I say the Bloomberg campaign because that kind of encompasses now all of the left.
That's a very good description.
He's taken that upon himself. And you heard John say that he pledged the $50 million. It is far more. He mentioned it was hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars to come after. And you asked in a previous hour of the show, why? Why are they doing it? What are they trying to accomplish? And, of course, it's to maintain power. And our next guest, David Kodria, can talk a little bit about that also. But I want to push people. I want you to go to Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. Do not just yourself, but your neighbors a favor. And I'll tell you why I say your neighbors. Do you have that Democrat that lives across the street, maybe that person who doesn't like guns, for really no discernible reason? They can't tell you why they don't like guns. Maybe they've just read guns are bad. Those people are fixable. Those people can be fixed, for the most part. you'll know right away if that person can't be fixed, and you might just want to move to another neighbor's house. But in this particular case, the facts, it's amazing how logical people will react to facts. But crimeresearch.org, please visit that site and educate yourself. Don't read, don't be that headline surfer. How important is that, Mike, to actually drill down and get the facts?
It's all facts. And when you're talking to that Democrat across the street or that anti-gun person across the street, we always give them facts. I'm never trying to change their mind. I just want them to have the facts and be able to make a decision based on the facts, not what they see from the lamestream media.
And then take one of those individuals out to shoot one of the firearms that build. You ever had someone fire one of your weapons that said, I never want to do that again?
No, never.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's very true.
Right.
We say it all the time. The best way to convince somebody that you're right about the right to keep and bear arms is to take that individual shooting. That's very sound advice. Kevin, I think you would agree with that.
I would. I've actually had that happen. A young lady from New York came down to my home. I was cleaning a suppressed AR. She wanted to know if it was a real gun. She said, can I touch it? Sure. Here. I locked the bolt back, let her hold it. She goes, well, that's not as heavy as I thought it would be. You want to shoot it? My wife literally tossed me a magazine. Take her out in the backyard. She fired 5 rounds through it. She wanted to hand it to her boyfriend. He was like, oh, no, I'm not going to touch it. She dumped the entire mag. She is going to be a gun nut. Now, she's still living in, you know, the Bronx, I think, now.
Occupied New York.
She's looking for a way to move south so she can get herself an LNAR.
We know. We've got somebody on that. It's very, very important, the facts. It's the facts. And the facts are available to you. Please, don't be that headline surfer. Don't read Rachel Maddow. Don't watch CNN. Don't read Fox. Go get your own facts, crimeresearch.org. Click the banner at the top and come out to the NRA convention. As you heard John say, meet me, meet Ted Nugent. Tim Schmidt's going to be there. Dana Lash is going to be there from the Blaze Network. Brad Thor, New York Times bestselling author, will be there. Many, many others. Come out and shake our paws and say hello. Kevin.
Remember that John Lott's organization doesn't accept donations from the NRA, from gun manufacturers, ammo. It is grassroots, individually funded, and he needs your assistance, your support, to keep the statistical validity being presented to the media. He's going to check their lies.
Because the media is not going to go to him directly. They will continue to go to the anti-gun groups. Let's bring David Codrey in for some incredible analysis. David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here, as always. How are you?
Always great to be here. And, you know, you guys...
We have David. There he is.
You guys hear me. Yeah, it's great to be here. You guys are absolutely right about knowing the facts. That is so incumbent on our side, because I can't tell you how many times I have heard people who have the right opinions, but they're not quite educated in terms of why. And so when they get pressed, they can't back it up, and or they pass on rumors, and or they don't check into things. And that is why John Lott's work is so important. That's why programs like this, you know, where you get experts on that can educate all of us. But it's incumbent on us to be able to back our opinions up with fact.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. I can't stress that enough, particularly now when the enemy of freedom, the enemy of our right to keep and bear arms, is so well orchestrated and so well funded. And this is coming from the White House. This is not an accident, what's happening here in the battle for our right to keep and bear arms. David, let's move on to, I don't want to say a lighter subject, but something that you wrote about this week. This is making national news, as it should. We're talking about State Senator Ernie Chambers. This is some of the most, I mean, just absolutely appalling statements I have ever seen. It's getting coverage in the mainstream media, but it isn't getting the coverage that it necessitates. Tell us about State Senator Ernie Chambers and what he said about American police and ISIS. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's actually the longest-serving senator in the state of Nebraska. And what's hysterical in terms of what he said, not just the hateful way that as a collectivist he lumps an entire group of people and blames individuals, but also the way it's like cognitive dissonance. He contradicts himself. He said, my ISIS is the police. If I was going to carry a weapon, it wouldn't be against you. He's talking to other people in the legislature. It wouldn't be against these people who come here that I might have a dispute with. Mine would be for the police. And if I carried a gun, I'd want to shoot him first and then ask questions later, like they say the cop ought to do. And the reason, aside from the fact that it's just a Looney Tunes statement, this guy, it's tough to even know where to begin, because he's saying that he hates the police, but he is a big gun control proponent. And what happens when you have big gun control proponents? What is it that they believe in? They believe in a monopoly of violence. They believe that only the state should be able to keep and bear arms. In other words, the people police. That he says he hates, the police, are the only ones he says should be carrying guns. And on top of that, maybe there's a bit of projection going on. He's violent. He wants to shoot and kill police officers. Hold the phone. Maybe that's why you don't trust anybody else with a gun, is because you know your own heart. And just to finish up on this guy, just to show you what a Looney Tune is, he's one of the guys who once filed a lawsuit against God. Okay, that's all I can say about this guy.
You know, David, I wish I could say to you, I wish I could correct you on the air and say, well, let's be fair, he didn't say he wanted to shoot the police. However, I can't. That is what he said. And when it was insisted by his colleagues in the legislature in Nebraska that he apologize, now there's several are calling for him to step down, which won't happen. We know he will not step down. He may eventually, if we're lucky, be forced out. But I wish I could say, I wish I could correct you, David, but I can't. Not only did he refuse to apologize, he doubled down with that statement. And that's ludicrous, comical. No, that's very scary. Sitting to my right is Mike Piwaworski. Mike, you are former law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
You have a badge on you now.
Yes, sir, I do.
What do you think when you hear this?
This is just another example of the state wants the gun, and he not only wants the guns for himself, he wants the guns away from the police. He thinks the police are coming to get him, yet he wants the police to be the only ones that have the guns. He's clearly double talking himself, and it's hurtful as a police officer to hear him say these things, because there's a section of the population that's going to listen to him and take him at heart.
Well, a section that has made him the longest running state senator in the state of Nebraska. And the first thing I thought was, who's voting for this guy? Now, there's a big difference between ignorance and stupidity. Or how fine of a line is it, really?
Well, he's got both.
He is the longest running senator in the state of Nebraska. Kevin will be back. Kevin Maxwell, Mike Piwaworski, I'm Mark Walters. We'll be talking with David Cotier right after this. Don't go away. It's a good one.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today. Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to the program. I can promise you this segment is going to be a good one. Again, the best radio is the radio you never hear. And that's the conversation, particularly when I have a tremendous panel in the studio with me, and we can talk about the previous segment. Now I'm going to bring it back to you. I had mentioned to you that the individual to my right was active duty law enforcement. Mike, I'm going to go back to you. 20 years.
Yes, sir.
Active duty with Florida.
Yes, sir.
In the state of Florida. You have family right now, two generations of family that are currently active, some serving for as long as 47 years.
47 years. Father's still wearing a uniform.
Still to this day. You know a little bit about police work. David Kodria, welcome back to the show. I'm going to ask this question. I want you to hear Mike's response, and then I want your comment, because part of the off-air conversation was the brilliance of David Kodria, how you pick things out of these stories that we didn't. And you talked about how here he is, the gun control advocate, that has flat out said, again, I said I wish I could correct you, but I can't, wants to shoot a cop, or would shoot a cop, doubled down when asked to apologize, when given the opportunity by his fellow legislators, doubled down and said no, he would not, and not only would he not apologize, he would not step down. So that would lead us to believe, as a gun control proponent, that he only wants, as you said, the police to have guns, authority to have guns. So I'm going to ask Mike this question. We're going to dig a little bit deeper. Mike, if you were active duty today and the call came from him to respond 911 as an active duty law enforcement officer, knowing what he said, how would you respond to that?
You know you have a threat. You know you have a gentleman that has made the accusation that when the law enforcement shows up, he's going to kill them. He's going to shoot them. You're going to do it one of two ways. You're going to respond with the SWAT team every time he gets a call, or it's going to get to the point where you're clearing his calls from about a half a mile away.
no matter what the call was.
No matter what the call is. Now you're worried about the threat that this gentleman's going to show you when you arrive.
The potential threat to your life because of his statements. David, had you thought about that aspect of it? And here we're sitting here talking with someone with many, many years' experience in law enforcement. I would really like to know his thoughts on that. Or is he just a blowhard who is just saying things, not thinking about the conversation we're currently having about him and how law enforcement will react when, not a matter of if, but eventually when he needs their help?
How is a prudent person supposed to read minds and know what he means, okay? If he's going to make a statement like this, I would think a prudent person is going to give some credibility that this is the man's sentiments and to take appropriate precautions to make sure that the man doesn't act out on such sentiments. But he's another example. You know, one of the sayings that I have is that with progressives, every day is opposite day. And, of course, we always put quotation marks around the word progressive because they're actually not. But, again, progressives are supposed to be the people who are for egalitarianism and power sharing. I submit to you there is no more egalitarian method of power sharing than the right of the people to keep and bear arms. What could be more egalitarian than that?
Brilliant commentary. Kevin, do you want to jump in real quick before we move to the next subject?
The first thing I would do if I had a client that made a statement like that, I would send him for a psych eval. Make sure he didn't have early onset Alzheimer's or something like that. Because those statements by a lawmaker...
I want to point this out, that you're not kidding.
No. I've had clients come in my office and say some crazy stuff, and off to the doctor they go. Because I've got to make sure they don't have a medical condition. If he's impaired because of some kind of medical condition, he needs to not be making laws. He needs to not be making these statements. Because if he says this publicly and somebody listens to it and they go out and they commit a crime against a law enforcement officer, they're going to point back to this man and say, my legislator told me to do this.
Well, then this, David, we could take this back all the way into the de Blasio. We could take this back into the debate over the debate. I hate to use that word. But the Michael Brown situation, we could go right back to that. Because now we have so-called civil rights leaders and mayors, people of political power, all the way to the White House, by the way, who can obviously be seen as inciting violence based on the way they handled these situations. So this is a fascinating conversation. I'll close this part of the topic out with this. Nebraskans, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Does this open your eyes? You're listening in Nebraska today. It's absolutely fascinating. I hope you do your homework, and I hope you heard at least what he said, if not this real down commentary and what it means. And you heard it from active duty or from law enforcement sitting here at the Crossbreed Holster microphone in the studio at Armed American Radio. Incredible stuff. David, let's take a quick swipe at the media. I have to do this because I saw one of your columns, and I got a chuckle out of it. Yet at the same time, I was very disappointed. My disdain for the mainstream media is very well known to listeners across the country. George Zimmerman was back in the news when a video was put out by his attorneys this past week. And he commented publicly, according to the mainstream media, for the first time. David, take that away.
Yeah, that was basically when he came on and he made a videotaped statement within his lawyer's office. And I'm trying to remember the name of the outlet. I think it was... I don't remember the name of it, but the guy was basically saying this is the first public statement that George Zimmerman has made since the Trayvon Martin shooting. And then, of course, all the other media jumped on board as well, and they're all talking about George Zimmerman coming out and making a statement. And I wrote a column last week or earlier this week, and I basically said, wait a minute, George Zimmerman was Armed American Radio. He made a public statement. He made an extensive public statement. He was on Mark Walter's program, and yet what did we hear from the media? We heard crickets, and yet I know because I saw the public, the press releases go out announcing this, and I know people were listening to this, and this to me, Mark, becomes an intentional sin of omission because they knew about it. But it does not suit their agenda to give publicity and to tell people that there is such a thing as Armed American Radio because they don't want it. And maybe that sounds conspiratorial, but there's no other explanation that I have for it.
He was on, he called this program on December 14th and talked to myself and Masoud Ayoob. He called the program unannounced, and we had an amazing conversation with him. In fact, the recordings of those conversations were sent to the very media outlets that later reported this past week that he was making his first statement. So they knew better. It is nothing short of a dereliction of duty. And ladies and gentlemen, when you... This is what I refer to as headline surfing. Please do your homework. The real truth is out there. You may just have to go out and find it for yourself. David, let's talk about Dick Heller for a moment. He's a good friend of mine, a good friend of yours, and a good friend to every freedom-loving American. And he's out there now with the Heller Foundation. Boy, this ought to raise some feathers, huh? What's he doing up to? What's he up to now?
Yeah, well, there's a lawsuit being run by a young attorney named Stephen Stambouillet, and this lawsuit's out of Texas. It's Jay Hollis, and he's suing the ATF, and he's suing the DOJ, basically saying that the post-1986 machine gun ban is unconstitutional. There's a whole lot of legalities that go into it that we don't have time to get into now. I'll encourage you to get
right.
Stephen on the program. Heller has taken over the fundraising for this, and this has...
All right, David, I got to stop you. I have to stop you right there. We're at the end of the hour. If you would, please hold the phones. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I am Mark Walters. I am filling your prescription for freedom, coast to coast from the toasty beaches of South Florida. I tell you every week, I'll tell you now. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Armed American Radio continues.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.